Welcome to another episode of Convergence. I'm Ellen Taylor here alongside Michelle McAloon, where we look at issues in culture and faith and kind of get a new perspective on things. We're glad you've joined us today. There's been a lot going on in the news and news stories that we really need to tackle and look through our lens of faith. With us this morning is Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, Jeanette DeMello. Jeanette, good morning and welcome.
Very good to be with you this morning. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Thank you. We have passed through a very chaotic time here as we've gone from the November elections here in the United States all the way to January, where it seems that things really came to a head on that January 6th and the certification of electors. How did you handle it in your Catholic news agency there at the National Catholic Register?
Sure. I felt like we were getting ready as we started the new year, right? Just hoping to have a much better year, to put, 2020 in hindsight, to begin to try to move forward from the tumult of that year. And then here we found ourselves even deeper, I would say, into a chaos as we watched the Capitol building being stormed and wow, how did we handle it at the register? Well, I think first, we're not a very big staff. We're a very small staff for managing a newspaper and a website, and we were stunned. We didn't know what to do at first, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think by the end of the day, we had gotten a few interviews that I think helped to set the tone for the rest of our coverage. One of those interviews was with a congressman who is Catholic and who spoke to us, spoke to our reporter, Loretta Brown. She's a D.C. reporter, from his office. He wasn't actually on the chamber floor when everything happened, but he spoke to us from his office. And it was a wonderful interview. That was Jeff Fortenberry, who was a representative from Nebraska. And so that coverage helped set the tone. And basically, one of the things he said was, look, I'm a Trump supporter. I've been a Trump supporter. I have been concerned over the election, but this has gone too far. And we need to pull it together. And he gave us some wonderful analysis about where he thinks the roots of this problem are. And he said, "Hey, politics isn't going to fix it. And so we need to pull it together. And Catholics especially need to pull it together." So that was one of the pieces.
I tell you, those were dark events on Wednesday, January 6th in Washington. There's no question about it. And that really, the reason why they were dark events because they actually called in our Constitution. It was borderline on a constitutionality crisis. What is the way forward in this? And the National Catholic Register had a great article with Robert George, the Catholic scholar, an interview stating that really we have to go back to our Catholicism and not look at people who do not agree with us as enemies. And
that's right.
The Catholic voice could be so prescient at this point and be an example for the nation if we have the courage to do it.
Right. So that was one of the interviews I was talking about that helped set the tone of the Register's coverage. That interview was done just the day after. So it was January 7th that Dr. Robert George gave us his insights, a professor, of course, at Princeton University. And he's both Catholic and he is a constitutional expert, he's an expert on religious liberty. He has served the government in various capacities in his expertise in religious liberty. He's someone to listen to. And he was saying, look, one of the ways we've gone far far afield from where our country was founded, but also which is in a democracy, you talk to each other, right? You disagree and you discuss it and you find a way to work it out in a civil means, in a procedural means. And if you need to examine those procedures, you examine them, you change them so that they can serve us. But the reason our democracy worked for so long and is because the people brought respected the rules of that democracy, and they brought to it values, and those values in our country were Judeo-Christian values, and the Judeo-Christian values are missing today, and that's what several of our commentators have said about this moment is we need, as Catholics especially, need to bring those Judeo-Christian values back to the fore. And one of those things is respecting the person we disagree with, that despite the disagreement, we love them. We do not attack them. We do not vilify them. And that has happened too often. I mean, I can't tell you the hate mail I receive from people that I assume are very, very good people. But I receive angry, angry mail telling me that I am immoral, that I have lost my way because of the things that we've published at the Register.
You got to imagine those people writing to you are probably Catholic too.
Oh yeah,
which is a bit sad.
It is. It's sad, and I it's okay to disagree. I do try to engage them actually as often as I can. It's hard to you know get into that level of engagement with the following the news as well. But we need to engage because we need to remember that we are all human. We are people who have families and who have deep beliefs and who have hurts and pains and joys, and that everybody's got those, you know. Everybody's passion is excited in this moment. What are we going to do with that? How can we move past this place where we vilify anyone who disagrees with us? I don't have the answer. We're looking for that answer.
Well, we all are.
I think in some ways politics flows downstream from culture. So our culture has had these problems in it for a long period of time right now, where we can't agree to disagree. And we have reduced people to transactional. Only what your opinion is or what you can do for me in this moment. And if it doesn't fit what we want, we push them aside. Or as you said, we vilify them. And so when you get where you're treating people like that, not just in politics, across the broad culture, right, that is it any wonder we ended up with a day like January 6th? Where voices were rising and they were in anger and nobody was listening to each other and nobody was recognizing each other in their humanity. And we just got to that point.
Right. We all need some anger management lessons here as a country.
Right.
I mean, and I say that, I mean, you know, we always think strange things when you think of anger management, but you know, I can be spirited, you know, I've had to learn how to control that passion. When, you know, I just want to call in the forces in a way, you know? But the fact is that anger can become addictive, you know, anger can color everything that we see, and we're angry right now. And maybe we have good reason to be angry, righteous anger. I think a lot of the anger that I hear from people is righteous anger. No doubt about it. There's something to be angry about. But how are we handling that anger? It needs to be channeled differently. Jeff Fortenberry made a really interesting point as a congressman. He said, look, and he voted to certify the election, even though he was a President Trump supporter. And he said, we do, elected officials do need to look into our electoral institution. Where do things need to be fixed? It is broken. Something is wrong. If this many people have such suspicion in that institution, something is wrong and it needs to be looked at, and we need to find ways to improve this. We cannot go on with people doubting the democratic process. And so I was very glad to hear him say that. I want to continue to press our elected officials on how they might do that. I mean, just because we're turning this corner where we're going to have a new president, doesn't mean we stop trying to improve the processes. That's important. And so Anyway, we've got a lot to pray for. I want to point out one other thing from January, the week of January 6th. It was on that Friday, January 8th, that our publisher, Michael Warsaw at the National Catholic Register, he called our attention to a prayer for our government. And it's a prayer that came from the first American bishop, John Carroll, later Archbishop John Carroll. And it's a beautiful prayer. It's a long prayer. And John Carroll asked his all of the parishes throughout the United States at that time to pray that prayer. And I think we should do that again. I think we need to return to a collective prayer that we say for our nation.
For our nation. Ataya Jeanette, one of the things that was really impressionable about those events on January 6th was there was a lack of leadership. And this is something that we have seen now time and time again. We've seen it somewhat in the church over the past decade, I would say, with the pedophilia crisis. We've seen it in government. We've seen it in many, many different places where a person or a leader has not emerged to say, we have to stop. We have to slow down. We have to control that anger. And we need leadership by example. We need that in the church. We need it in politics. We need it in everyday life. And it is because of our fallen condition that we need good, strong leaders. And we've really not had a lot of that.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I was, you know, as I watched, and I told you there was a bit of paralysis at first because you just, what do you do with this? What do you do with this? You know, and of course you have to get out of it. And I imagine I've worked in the chancery before. I would imagine that many in the chancery that aid our bishops felt the same way, that kind of paralysis. What do we do? Oh, I forgot myself. I forgot we need to lead. You know, some did, some of our bishops did get out with statements. I think Archbishop Daly, Bishop Daly was one of the first to just put a statement out, and it was a call to prayer. It was a call, pray the rosary with me at 3 p.m., you know. And, you know, but yes, we need leadership. We need leadership all across the board from our bishops, and I pray that it becomes more united. Our bishops are completely all over the place right now. I mean, we need some greater unity. Especially looking to what the Biden administration will bring. They will bring severe challenges to the church. The bishops need to be united as we confront that. And that's one of the things that our editorial that one of you spoke about, you know, on the Register site right now. It's from January 8th is when we posted it. And it's called America's Soul Needs Healing. And we talk about the need for our Episcopal leadership. So absolutely, I pray for them. I pray that there's a greater voice. I wish that President Trump would have called it off more, you know, more forcefully. He did not do what he needed to do in that moment. And I actually commend the bravery of Vice President Mike Pence. I think, and all of those congressmen that went back and they did the job they needed to do right away. I also appreciate that they allowed debate. They did not just go ahead and certify, let's get this done. No, continue to debate. Their voices needed to be heard, and they needed to go through the democratic process that they had begun that day. So there is a lot of healing needed. There's a lot of healing.
One thing that when we talk about leaders, and we seem to forget as a society, is that leaders just don't happen, you know, like they sprout somewhere. That these are men and women that are raised up morally, they learn how to lead from their families, from their communities. It's done on a smaller scale in other places, and you grow into the shoes of leadership. And we don't really seem to be pushing that those are traits that are good these days. We seem as a society to be tearing down a lot of traits that in the past would make good leaders. Now you have to be open to every single idea that comes your way. And if you're not or embracing of it, then there's what's wrong with you, and you're pushed aside. We had a guest on one of our shows the other day, and he explained it beautifully. He said, you used to get on a train, and you get off at a certain stop. Here's the stop for education, then you get off the next stop for marriage. He said, a young person said to him, it's not like a train anymore. Now you're like a boat on the open sea, tacking back and forth to try to find your way. And it's so true, because we have taken away the guardrails on how to create certain essential elements in our society. And one of them is leadership.
I absolutely agree. And I mean, part of that, I think what you just said, in what you just said, there are two things. One is moral relativism, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, moral relativism says there is no single truth. There's no objective truth. And yet in doing so, you can see today that there is an absolute that you have to accept moral relativism. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't accept right. There is the truth. If you do, then you are an outcast. You are antiquated. So that's one of the problems. And then the other problem is that so many of our institutions, and I use that word very, I guess, loosely, but the most ancient of institutions, the family, is so attacked and so destroyed. And so these smaller intermediary institutions like the family, like small close-knit communities, aren't there to help in the same way, to help provide the structure that we need to grow in these values. It's been attacked. It's been destroyed. It's families themselves in some ways have lost their way. And so there needs to be just a restoration of these small close-knit communities that know how to engage one another, that know how to build up leadership, that know how to form in truth, in an objective truth. I do feel blessed. I've recently returned to Louisiana after living in Denver for many years. And I'm extremely happy to be in the South again, in the Gulf South. We're all in the Gulf South. Well, yeah. Michelle's not right now, but
she's hoping to get,
you know,
back.
Our roots in the Gulf South. I think you do see a bit more family. I mean, you do see people marrying younger. You do see more church activity or involvement in the church, even from the young. And I think that's important. I'm very appreciative to be back in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. So. Jeanette, what stories in the past year did you see that resonated with you and that you believe really profoundly affected the Catholic world, the Catholic life in the United States of America?
Gosh, there are too many. You know, we do at the end of the year a look back where we display the year in pictures. It's really a photo essay, and we do this in the print edition. We also post it online, so you can find it at ncregister.com. Of course, the pandemic is the first thing of the last year that just startled us all, you know, and it just hit us by storm. None of us have lived through anything remotely like that, as catastrophic as it has been. And so that fear that existed, especially very early on, about what this was going to be, the way that it stopped our life in so many ways, economically, socially, and of course, in the deepest way, you know, this access to the sacraments back in March. I mean, that I pray to God we never experience something else like that, you know. I think the picture of Pope Francis, and we chose to put this on the look back issue in the front page of the Register, of Pope Francis on that March day where he blessed the world alone practically in St. Peter's Square with the Holy Eucharist in benediction. That image and that moment, I mean, it's the first time I ever knelt down in front of a computer. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, I in a strange way felt the presence of God in a real way at that moment, not having had the sacraments for a few weeks by then. I felt that, and I felt that how much we needed the Eucharist. And even though it was veiled from us for some time, it made me hunger and long for it more. But Father Raymond D'Souza, who's a regular columnist for the Register, wrote something at the end of last year that I think we need to really take seriously. And it was about how the Sunday obligation was one of the casualties of 2020. And I really fear that. I fear that too many Catholics will not return to weekly sacraments, to the weekly mass. And there were too many Catholics not going already before 2020 to the sacraments. So I fear that the faithful will dwindle because they have no longer consider it important to go every week to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. I pray that's not the case. I think we have a lot of work to do to make sure that that's not the case, that people are invited back, that we explain why it is so important, that watching the Mass and praying at home, which is maybe a good thing that was learned from last year, but that's not the same as actually going and being in Christ's presence in the Holy Eucharist and in the state of grace receiving Him.
I think the numbers back you up to, the numbers that are coming out from the end of 2020 is that we previously had about a 20% attendance rate in weekly Mass. And with the pandemic, that's down to about 5%.
Right.
Now, if you can imagine that just 5% of Catholics in this country are at Mass each week in church, participating in spiritual life, that is a sad statement on our faith life, our Catholicism here. And I think it's inherent upon people that are part of that 5% to figure out ways to engage and bring back. Maybe it's just one other person. Maybe it's two other people. But ways that we can bring people back to recognize how essential having weekly Mass is for your own spiritual life, for the well-being of your family and your community.
I think that's absolutely right. I think we do need to have that evangelical nature and start talking about people. Many people did recognize that faith was important this year, that in trying to handle the chaos and stress of last year, that faith became an important part of their day or their week. Now we need to engage those people who say, yes, that spirituality is important to me. We need to say, okay, well, come with me back. You know, what is it that you love? Can you do that and this? Let's go to church together. Let's experience this community. Community is another casualty. Communities become digital. And we need to figure out how to touch again.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just important. We need that community.
Absolutely. This is a clarion moment for the Catholic Church. And it can be if we choose to make it, because we need community, we need sacraments, we need attendance, we need leadership. And that should be homegrown within a parish. What stories did you see in the past year that maybe you thought could possibly strengthen parish?
Well, you know, Michelle, we did a story at the Register in that edition I was talking about, the look back edition, and it was about Catholic heroes. And some of those heroes we recognized were priests. And those priests, during a time when there was, you know, basically lockdown, when parish life was restricted and when access to the sacraments were restricted, they brought the sacraments to people. Some priests, you know, got the monstrance with their deacon and went to people's neighborhoods in the back of a pickup truck and actually blessed people in their neighborhoods. And I believe that image, especially when it's captured in you know, on the websites and of newspapers like mine, or when it's captured on Twitter and things like that, Facebook, where people actually is a witness to belief in the Holy Eucharist and a witness to the longing that people have for Christ. So that was one example. I think Catholic schools did an amazing thing this year by starting. Yeah. My Catholic school here in Louisiana, in Mandeville, Louisiana, where I am, Our Lady of the Lake, started exactly when they planned to start, the beginning of August, and it has been a normal school year. Praise be to Jesus that they did that, because some people didn't return. You know, some people homeschooled. Some people felt more comfortable because they did offer a track from home where you could participate from home in a kind of a homeschool program. But the Catholic schools that opened offered some stability. for people. And I pray, this is a prayer request, really, and a hope, is that those Catholic schools, they have new people there in those schools who may not have been there before, that we need to deepen the Catholic identity of our schools, because that's what makes us different. So that was another way. I saw a lot of parishes do the digital thing. You know, they tried to have some sort of a digital programs, whether it was a prayer group or outreach to people, trying to call them together, or maybe start up daily emails or things like that to just kind of connect people. I think we will see very positive movements in the future in the digital access for people. But there's a risk in that. People, you know, we just spoke about that people think that digital is enough. We're not back. And so I don't even recognize the people in church, because they're not the same people that were there that I would see before. You know, we're starting to recognize each other, but it's different. It's different people. Those people who are sending their kids to the Catholic schools, I hope somebody might hear this. If your kids are in the Catholic school, but you haven't returned to Mass yet, examine that, you know, have a deep reflection on why your kids are back in school, but you're not back at Mass. That's happening, you know, and we just need to examine our own conscience in many ways, examine our own conscience as a country, as a church, as individuals, and say, what can we be doing more to better the situation we're in as a culture? And that's key.
It's so true. I mean, from the start of this conversation, talking about the chaos in the capital of the United States, to ending it with, it's the solution's going to come from us as faithful people and faithful citizens. We've just really enjoyed this conversation with you today, Jeanette. And I know in the midst of a busy time, you've taken time to talk to us here on Convergence. Jeanette DiMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. And you can check out their work online at ncregister.com. Great work there. Thanks for joining us, Jeanette.
Very glad to be here. It's a fun conversation, and I appreciate the work you do.
Well, hopefully we'll stay in touch with you the rest of 2021 and see where that takes us as well. For Convergence, I'm Ellen Taylor, joined alongside Michelle McAloon. Till then, God bless, stay safe, and keep the faith.